Happy New Year. It is the church's new year. We've come into, we have survived another year, and we begin once again. And we begin, as we always do, with an Advent season. What is that Advent season? It is that preparation. We are preparing for the arrival. That is an Advent. Obviously, we prepare for a very particular arrival. We prepare for Christmas. And what is that Christmas? What is it particularly that we are preparing for? What efforts are we making? Let me tell you, the Hallmark Channel will spend the next 25 days trying to tell you exactly what they think Christmas is. And they'll get part of it right, but not all of it. It's one of those genuine curiosities to me. It's so fascinating. Because in so many ways, we live in a world that's going to bombard us with ideas near the true meaning of Christmas. They'll give us stories that literally are titled "The True Meaning of Christmas" and then completely miss the true meaning of Christmas. They'll try and tell us about peace on earth and goodwill toward men, and that's fantastic because that is part of it. Try and express to us this need to grow in our charity towards others, and that's fantastic. That's part of it. When we consider the fact is that they removed the very central theme, the very central idea, the very essential part of what it is. I'm fascinated by this idea to try and strip away the difficult parts or the parts we don't like and just sort of take on the parts that make us feel good. It's always fascinating to see when we try and take an idea and strip it down to fewer pieces than originally had. I think about seminarians. They are a dangerous lot, rest assured. They don't really get to get out much. They're actually required to stay on grounds for extended periods of time. And so one particular Saturday, I know many of my classmates gathered together and they decided collectively that they were going to simplify Latin. That's what exciting things we do on a slow Saturday. Decided to simplify Latin, so we removed the dative sense, and we rewrote the subjunctive sense, and we remodified how to conjugate the verbs entirely, removed something that was kind of ambiguous, sort of reworked the whole system, cleaned up the pronunciation key, and really made something that we thought would be much, much easier. So excited, some of my classmates, they went and they shared it with one of our professors. They shared it specifically with the language professor. He was a linguist. He spoke Latin and Greek and four or five other languages as well. And they explained to him all the changes that they made and all the modifications and how they had done this and how they just made Latin simpler. And after hearing all of it, the professor smiled at them and said, "Congratulations, you have invented modern day Italian." It was kind of a stunning moment for them. None of them realized that they had just done that, but that's what they did. They had removed things that they found difficult and frustrating and ambiguous about the language, and they tried to make it simpler. So simple, in fact, that even the modern-day Italians had embraced the same idea. So sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can take away, we can shave off what we might consider necessary, we can focus on what's really benefiting. But there's something about Christmas where we lose the linchpin, it just doesn't work. Genuinely, if you look at it, in the French Revolution, they wanted to embrace the great ideas of wisdom, intellect, and growth in knowledge. They rededicated the Cathedral of Notre Dame to the Cathedral of Enlightenment. They set it up as this place where they were going to gather and be excited about the power of the intellect. And they thought, there's something about this exchange of gifts, this building up of goodwill toward men, this sharing of an idea of desiring for peace on earth. We can keep that. We'll even keep it on the same day. We'll keep it on the 25th of December, and we'll build up towards this betterment of mankind through our intellect. But it didn't even last a year. Even as they built toward it, there was this push. We're going to build for peace on earth and goodwill toward men and an exchange of generosity to each other. The question came back, why? Well, because it's good for us. Based on whom? The danger is that the intellect, without a moral standard, doesn't have anything to stand on. And so the idea sort of devolved quickly and became this competition of who could outbetter the other by being more noble or more embiggened by this idea. This idea of selflessness actually became a competition of pride in the opposite direction. The whole thing turned into a giant chaotic nightmare. Because the truth of the matter is that we must hold at the very heart that Advent is the preparation for Christmas. And Christmas is that in the fullness of time, because we have a God who loves us so much, God stepped into time. He stepped outside of his timelessness. He He stepped out of his infinity and he stepped into our finite world and into time, and God has visited his people. And if we forget that, we forget this moral authority, we forget this reality that it is God who has come to us. The Prince of Peace is why we want peace on earth. The one who judges all and brings love to all wants goodwill toward men, because he has shown us that example of love first and then invited us to follow, not just told us we have to figure it out on our own. And at the very heart of what we celebrate in this preparation of Advent is not merely some platitudes and some niceties. It isn't just an exchange of a few gifts, maybe a couple of weeks off, or maybe it's just a couple of days. At the very heart of it, God visits his people and shows us how to love. That's what we're preparing for. And even as we prepare for it, even as we get ready for this great season of Christmas where our God will come to us, even as we prepare our hearts and our homes through the season of Advent, we should ever be mindful of the warning that we have today in Mark. I love Mark. We begin this season, we'll have a lot of Mark, and Mark is such an urgent writer. Everything he writes has an urgency to it. It's an immediacy, it's an urgency, it's a demand that constantly comes back again and again and again, because he's trying to stress to us that God came and he's coming back, and we need to be ready. And if we're not ready, it's going to catch us off guard, and we're really, really going to have a hard time explaining it. He's coming. That's why we need to be watchful, be alert, because at any moment it could be that time when Christ comes and he comes again. Be watchful. Have your souls ready. Live that life for God. He's coming again. Are you ready?